Well, good morning, church. How are you guys doing? Now, I know a couple of you chuckled already, but yes, we are having a crock pot cook-off today, which is mostly chili. And then our men's minister comes up and says, sign up in 3 weeks to come to my house and have chili. So we get to do it all over again. So anyway, thanks for that, John. Make sure you guys sign up for that men's ministry event at John's house. It's always a good time. We are starting something new and special this morning called The Story. And if you've been around, I've been talking about it for a couple of months now. It's been a long time coming, but we are jumping today into the story of God through the Old Testament. And it starts right at the beginning in Genesis 1:1. So if you have your Bible, make sure you take it out and open up to Genesis 1:1. If you don't have a Bible, you can always grab one out of the carts that are in the aisles. Find Genesis 1:1. And if you can't find Genesis 1:1, I got no help for you. I'm sorry. Open it up the first couple of pages. I'm sure you'll find it. So we're talking about God's story. And we're talking about the way His story relates to our story. And here's the first truth we can start out with this morning. The Bible is the grandest, most compelling story that the world has ever encountered. And this is, thank you. Can we get an amen about that? Okay. God's story is a powerful story. Now, a lot of times we get lost in the details of what He's doing and how He's doing it and when He's going to do it. But can I just tell you that at the heart of God's story is that He wants to be with His people. He wants to redeem His people. And then He wants to see His people in heaven with Him. Now, that is the premise of God's story from the beginning to the end. And this is what we're going to be doing for the next year. We're going to be talking about this God who created. We're going to be talking about this God who saves. We're going to be talking about this God who redeems. But one of the things I know we do in the Old Testament is as we look through it, and we think about all these old stories. And we think, man, do you see the way that God walked with Adam and Eve? Do you see the way that God spoke to Abraham? Have you seen the way that God miraculously shows up in the story of Job? And we think, man, if only that God was still here today. Can we just dispel that myth right now? The God that we are going to talk about, though these stories happened thousands of years ago, the God that we are going to talk about over the next year in the Old Testament is the very same God that does everything we see in the Old Testament. These are not myths. This is not a storybook of a made-up fairy tale. This is a real God that moves in power, speaks in power, creates, explores, takes us on journeys, and He still does it today. Now, we look at the stories of Adam and Eve, and we look at the story of people like Abraham and Rebekah and Isaac and Job and Rahab and the many, many others. And we just love to read them because they're so encouraging and inspirational that God did such a great work. And we think, man, if I could only have that faith, or if I could only see that God today, man, couldn't I be like David and have a heart after God like David did? Couldn't I be like Job and after all of these trials and struggles are over, couldn't I see the glory and the greatness of God on the other side? But here's the truth of the matter. Sitting in this room today are Rebekahs and our Abrahams and our Adams and our Eves and our Isaacs and our Jobs and our Rahabs. Here's what we need to understand. This book is not just a story of things that took place in other people's lives. This book is real and it is alive. And all that happened to those people in the Old Testament that we look up to, do you know the only thing that happened? Is that they became a part of God's story. And church family, that can happen with every single one of you. All you have to do is allow your story to intersect with God's story and see what's going to happen. As we read through this together, you're going to see it one time after another. It's not that these people we read about are necessarily these great men and women of righteousness. that they're these great men and women of faith. But do you know what happens? They're on a journey, on a story, leading a life, and God's story sweeps them away, and miracles happen. And so, church family, I just want to say that to you over the next year as we go through these stories one by one. Don't just be here to learn. Don't just be here to take in, but be here to find the place in which your story intersects the story of God. And so with that, before we jump into the Word this morning, let me pray. Father, we are jumping into an incredible year-long time of being in your Word, in your Old Testament. And Father, we call it old and we use that word old, but Father, I pray it wouldn't be that. Father, may it be new, may it be real, may it be alive. Father, cause us not to care so much about the learning and the details, but Father, cause us to care more about the heart. Father, change our heart through these stories. Father, change our heart as we find our story in your story. And Father, through this year-long time in your word, I just pray that miracles would happen around us as people catch the vision that you have for your people. Father, bless the word this morning. Speak it truthfully and powerfully through me. Father, may your spirit be live, real, and active amongst all of these believers this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Genesis 1:1. Here we go. It was only 4 weeks ago we finished Revelation. Now here we are at the other end. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God... We'll just stop there. That's going to be a long morning. In the beginning, God. It doesn't say in the beginning, Daniel. It doesn't say in the beginning, Robert or Teresa or Paul or Dee. It doesn't say in the beginning, Carrie or Chris or Tom or Norm. It says in the beginning, God. This is the most foundational truth that we have to have underneath us for the rest of this year. In fact, the rest of our lives. Church family, this world is not about us. The foundation of this world is not you and me. The creator, the healer, the authority, the person who reigns and rules is not a president or a king or a pastor or an elder board or anything like that. In the beginning, God. The word used here is the word Elohim. I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it doesn't matter. Because now you know different. I was going to say, you don't know any different. The word Elohim is translated one English word, God. It's the only word in the Bible used for God that is translated simply God. And what it means is, there is one supreme, high authority, ruler, and reigner, and creator. In the beginning, God. Important to note that there was no beginning for God. God has always been, He is today, and He will always be. In the beginning, God. This is not our story. What is happening all around us is God's story. I've talked about this on a couple of occasions, but we love to write our own story. We love to try to write our own story. But there is only one author. There was not Daniel in the beginning. There was none of you in the beginning. There was one creator and there was one author, and that is God. That is Elohim. And this is his story. This universe, our solar system, it does not revolve around this planet. It does not revolve around any one of us. It revolves only and totally on God. And not only that, know this, it wasn't just God in the beginning. We will read that in a couple of verses. God has always existed in three forms. In fact, we're going to see this in a couple of different verses this morning. It says that before creation, His Spirit was over the deep. It says that in the beginning was God, and then later on he says, let's create man in our image. Church family, another foundational truth for us today. Not only was there just God, and not only does this world center and revolve on God and God alone, but God has always existed in three forms. God on the throne, God on earth, Jesus, the Son, and God in spirit. We must know those things going forward, because as we read through and understand God's story, if we don't know that this is all about Him, that He always was and always will be, and that He has always existed in three forms, and we have no foundation to start on. This is all and totally about Him. Now, the word used here, Elohim, for God, is one of the names of God, but there's many others for God in the Bible. He's also called El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, El Elyon, the Lord Most High, Adonai, Master, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, Jehovah Sidinku, I'm probably not pronouncing these right, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Mekadishakam, the Lord who sanctifies you, El Olam, the everlasting God, Elohim, God, Kana, jealous God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, and Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. Now, the point I'm making here is that we can call God a lot of different things. We can say God, we can say Father, we can say Lord, we can say Master, we can say the Lord Most High, we can say Jehovah, we can say my Shepherd, we can say the God that heals, the righteous God. Here's the bottom line. Whatever word it is that you call Him by, there is one and one God alone that holds all of this in His hands, that has created and touched everything, that at this moment holds the very universe, that has the power to give life and to take it away, that has the power to even give you your next breath. Church family, this morning is about a couple of things, but number one, right from the beginning, is this. This is not about anything else but Lord God on the throne, Most High, Creator of everything. So what did this God do in the beginning? Let's get back to the Word. Genesis 1, and we're going to do a little marathon in the Word right now, so stay with me. Genesis 1, we're going to read verse 1 all the way through 25. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. A darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that He gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to their kind, on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens and give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind and the livestock according to their kind and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Whew, that was a mouthful. Let me catch my breath. God created. God created so much in so much detail with unbelievable complexity that our minds can't even fathom. In fact, if you just look around our mountain, there's such a diverse system of plants and trees and animals, and what's worse is the human beings. There's such a diverse crowd that we look around, and how could you not look around and say, man, how could this ever happen by accident? But just step back out of Crestline. Step back from a 20,000 foot view and look down. You'll never even step foot on all that you can see. And that doesn't even include what you can't see, which is on the other side of the earth. Very few people will ever touch every continent on this planet. Probably no one has ever even set foot in every country, let alone seen every beauty of all of creation that is only on this tiny blue dot that seems so big to us. God created all of that. And do you know, just from that one creation of this little planet, we could gaze at its beauty and praise and proclaim the God who created all of it. But this isn't, did you know that this isn't even a speck of what's out there? It's not even a speck. Not even a speck. In 1994, there's this huge telescope that's up in space somewhere called the Hubble Telescope. They told it to take a picture of one tiny piece of darkness for 7 straight days. After those 7 days, they had a picture of billions of stars, planets, asteroids, and galaxies. Billions. 10 years later, they did the same thing, and do you know what happened? The technology got better, they left the camera lens open later, and they discovered hundreds of billions of more galaxies, stars, and planets. And we have a way of feeling big in this world, don't we? I want us to sense and understand the enormity of God. He could have stopped with this planet and said, this is good enough. But to prove who he was, to prove of his power, to prove of his rule and his reign over everything, he created more than human beings will ever even set eyes on. That is the God that we worship. Man, when we stand and sing, we are not singing to some small God. We aren't singing to some small God that all he did was create Crestline or the planet Earth. He said, I'm going to put people on that planet, but I'm also going to create the expanses of the universe beyond even the human being's imagination. I just want to keep hitting this point home. This is not about us. This is his story, his creation, his world, and he is the foundation and center of all of it. For 3 days, he puts together the planet. He gives us space. He creates the land, and he creates the seas, and he creates the air and the atmosphere. And then for 4 more or 3 more days after that, he fills it. He fills the sky with the sun and the moon and the stars and the seas and the lakes and the oceans with fish and the air he fills with birds and the ground he fills with animals and he fills it with all kinds of plants and trees and things that are even beyond our comprehension. He did it all in 6 days. And it's no wonder that sometimes people say it was a big bang. Big bang. I said it. It was a big bang. God spoke. God spoke. And everything that we can see, touch, feel, and experience, and infinitely more happened. It was a big bang. May I say this? Sometimes in the Bible we read passages that talks about God's voice being the still, small voice. Oh, it might be still and small sometimes when we need that. But when God created the heavens and the earth, it shook everything as we know it to its foundation. It was the loudest, biggest bang that you could ever even imagine experiencing. That is the very voice of God. And as we look around and think about all that God has done and created and made with His voice, that should cause us to fall at His feet in worship. I think sometimes because we get to live in this place, our senses are dulled to the beauty and the creation and the power of God. But church family, don't let that happen. In fact, where's John at? You here somewhere? There's John. John got here this morning. He's like, I had my camera with me. You should have seen the clouds. You should have seen the sun. I wanted to stop and just take pictures of God's glory. And he said, I did stop figuratively and just said, thank you, God, for what I'm seeing. But here's a detail that we cannot miss, which is the main point of what I want you to hear this morning. We can look up and see the sun and the stars and the moon. If you go away where there's not light, out into the desert or up into the mountains where there's not cities, you can see innumerable amounts of stars and planets and galaxies up above us. And you'd think that God would look down and say, man, at that earth and at the galaxies that He created, and you think He'd look down and just say, man, I knocked it out of the park. But you know what He said over and over again? He just said it's good. He created the sun and the moon and the stars, and He said, yeah, that's pretty good. And He created the oceans. And by the way, if you want to know about the most unexplored places on this little speck of blue that we live on, it's the oceans. There are plants and animals and fish and crustaceans there that haven't even been discovered. We will probably never discover them all. And you think He would look at that and say, that's good. Or maybe He'd look at the Amazon rainforest, the beauty of creation and the diversity of plants and animal life, and say, man, I did an amazing work right there. Do you know what He said? He just said, it's good. It's good. You guys have been there, right? You made something with your hands. I know we've got some ladies in here that do some sewing and quilting. Men in here that maybe do some construction work. Like sometimes don't you just sit back and you're like, that's good. Like it's just good enough, right? I bet there's other times, Robert, where you're like, I did a really good job here, right? His wife laughed at him. There is one thing that God created that is His crowning achievement that mattered most to Him. He looks around and sees all the things that take our breath away and He says they're good. There is one thing that He says is very good. God, what is your crowning achievement? What is your greatest masterpiece, Lord? Look at verse 26 through 31. Then God said, let us make man and woman. By the way, the word that's used there in the original language means man and woman. Then God said, let us make man and woman in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps over the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God creates light and darkness. He creates sun and moon and stars and galaxy. He creates the seas and the ocean and the land. He creates things in majestic beauty, and he says it's all good. And then he creates us. And then he says that this creation is complete. It is very good. Don't leave here with a false perception of who you are in God's eyes. Yes, we are so small. We are insignificant in matter and size. The impact that any one of us will have on this world will feel insignificant. And you know what? It's okay to feel ourselves and understand ourselves in right perspective. Maybe it'll give us some humility. But in the eyes of God Almighty, in the eyes of the one who spoke and everything was created, in the eyes of the one who created farther than we can ever see, in the eyes of the one who created animals and fish and birds and species of which we don't even know about yet, the world was not right until he had you. Oh. I'm a real person with real problems, with real shortcomings. I'm a person that at times feels very small. But no matter the shortcomings, the stumbling, or the sin, the God of heaven and earth, the God that we cannot even understand his enormity, that we can't even picture his glory, he loves me and you in a way in which we cannot comprehend. In fact, he loves us so much and wanted to enjoy us so much that we are the only thing on this planet that bears any resemblance to him. There is nothing on this planet that comes close to the value that you and I have in the eyes of God. Don't ever feel like in your shortcoming, don't ever feel like in your sin, don't ever feel like in your stumbling that you have no value and you have no worth. No, God put us here. God put us here because he wanted us here. God put us here because he had great value. And do you know the other reason why God put us here? It's because he wanted to be with us. That is what matters most. God didn't put us here to watch us stumble around. He didn't put us here so we'd ride our bike off the side of the cliff and he'd get a good chuckle. He didn't put us here as his science experiment. He put us here because he wanted to be with us. Look down through to chapter 2 of Genesis. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground of the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. We'll talk more about this next week. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now skip down with me to verses 15 and 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you shall not fear. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Hey, John, I got some bad news for you. I got like 10 minutes at least. I never gave you a cue, so my apologies. So go sit down. Sorry, John. No, you don't apologize. I apologize. God wanted to be with us so much that he created the earth and everything around it. And on the earth, he created this special place called Eden. Do you know what he was doing? For an infinite amount of time, God in heaven had experienced perfect communion, perfect joy, and perfect peace in heaven. And do you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to share that. He wanted to share heaven and all that heaven is with the people that he loved so much. And so he creates this place called Eden. And his great and grand purpose was that he would be in Eden with his people. And then in the cool of the day, he would walk with them. And he would talk with them. And he would enjoy them. Do you know what he wanted? He wanted nothing more than to be with his people. And in fact, there's a little bit of humor in this. At one point in the story of Genesis, I'm not going to read it this morning, but in one point, you know, he starts bringing all the animals to Adam. And it doesn't say he lets Adam name them. He said he just wanted to know what Adam would say. I just love that part of the relationship. It's like when your kid brings up to you a little coloring when they're 4 years old. And they say, "See, Dad, what is it?" And then it's dinosaur? "No, it's you." "Oh, it's beautiful. It's great." Like, I think that's how God was in the garden with Adam and Eve. He's just like, "Son, show me. Daughter, be with me. Let's walk together in a sinless and perfect world." We use the word communion when we think about these trays and tables that we remember Jesus with. But do you know what communion is? It's being intimately with someone. It's the art of communication with someone else on a deep and emotional and intimate level. God created Eden. He created a world so that he could be in perfect relationship and in perfect communion with his people. If you want to know what God's big plan is, you want to know the end of the story? Do you not want to know? You want to know what God's purpose is? Well, we think it's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. What is God doing here? Why is he doing it? I can tell you. It's right here in the first two chapters. God wants to be with his people. And that's what his whole story is about. Spoiler alert, if you don't know what happens next, okay? Man ruins it. He ruins the relationship. And do you know what the rest of God's story is about? It's about bringing them back. Come back. Thanks. God wants nothing more than you in your brokenness, in your faults, in your weaknesses, in your shortcomings. God wants you. That is his greatest desire. In two chapters of Genesis today, and we didn't even read the whole thing, we can learn a lot. We can learn that God is insanely creative, that he has all authority and all power. We can learn that he is the center and the foundation of this universe. We can learn that he is full of majesty and that he can breathe life just by the words of his mouth. Well, there's a lot to learn. But do you know what he wants us to know most? He just wants us to know that his greatest desire is us. That's it. And let's pause for a moment and talk about that. Because when we read the book of Genesis, and frankly throughout the whole Bible, there's always something in us that wants more knowledge and more wisdom. And we want to learn how to defend our faith. And we want pastor to tell us, well, when this says this was a day, was it a literal day or was it a figurative day? And were there dinosaurs? And isn't there a chapter in the Bible where there's giants? And like, we want to dig into all of this and we want to know. Tell me more. I want to know. Give me knowledge. Tell me more. I want to just tell you something straight up. If God wanted us to know the answers to those questions, He would have told us. Did I lose my microphone on that? Period. God is telling us what He wants us to know. If He wanted us to know if a day in the book of Genesis is 24 hours, He would have just told us. If He wanted us to know if there was mankind on other planets, if there was dinosaurs, if the flood covered the whole earth, if there was giants roaming among, if He wanted us to know all of that stuff, He would have just told us. So can I just tell you, don't get caught up in the details. Get caught up in what God tells us. And what we've learned from His Word today is this. God is the creator and the foundation of everything, and He is the center of this universe. And He wants one thing. You. He wants to be with you. He wants to know you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to know your heart. And do you know what? He even wants you to confess your shortcomings. He just wants you. An interesting side note to this, though, is that as much as God desired a relationship with us, He realized that when He created Adam, that Adam wasn't complete. This is the last scripture we're going to read this morning. Look down to verse 18 in chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to, oh, I am going to read this part, to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heaven and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." It's a little bit odd that God would realize that His relationship with us wasn't everything we needed. It's weird to feel that, right? It's weird to think that. But God looked at man and He said, "You need each other. You need each other." Church family, God is a relational God. He is a God that wants to be with us, and He is a God that wants us to be with each other. Don't miss that. I know that in this life and in this world, and even in the midst of our church family at times, sometimes there's hurt, sometimes there's brokenness, sometimes there's pain, and sometimes there's offense. But God's story is greater. God's story is a love story. God created everything that we can see, touch, feel, and experience, and so much more. And then He placed us in its midst, where He could be with us, love us, adore us, and get to know us. And that we could get to know one another. The closing thing I want to say to you is this. Don't give up. Don't give up on one another. Don't give up on relationship. I get it. I get that things are said. I get that acts are done. I get that lies are told. I get that things are spoken that hurt us and want us to push away from people. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted us to be with Him, and He wanted us to be together. So in the same way that God loves you unconditionally, may we also be a church that in relationship always loves one another. Next week, we're going to talk about brokenness. We're going to talk about the fall. And we're going to talk about sin. John, in a moment here, is going to lead us in communion. But I just want to say this one more time before I pray and go. The God of the heavens and the earth, the God who sits on the throne in heaven, the God who placed the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets, the God who holds all power and all authority, the God who holds the universe, the God who holds your very life in His hands, that God does not look at you and wish He had done something else. He doesn't look at you and think He made a mistake. He doesn't look at you and wish anything other from you than this. He wishes one thing. Be with me. That's the story of Genesis 1 and 2. God wants to be with His people. Pray with me. Father, it seems so simple. You just want to be with us. What is it in our flesh, Lord? What is it in our flesh that stops us from that one thing? Father, we're just in a world that circles around us like vultures, trying to rip our hearts away from You, yet we have the God of all creation who just says, I made this for You so that I could be with You. Father, may we not be people full of distractions. Father, may we not be people who have the world at war in our hearts. May we not be people who get our eyes fixed on other things. But Father, may we hear the one word that You have for us this morning. Be with me. Father, may that be the priority of our life. May that be the highest aspiration that we have. May that be what we want more than anything else. That Father, as much as You deeply desire to know us and be with us, that we would want that too. Father, we thank You for the way that You love us and the way that You value us. We thank You that You look down at us, Father, not as broken, but You see us as Your beautiful achievement and greatest masterpiece. Father, may we just all receive that today. And Lord, finally, I pray this over our body this morning. I pray this over our church. Father, I pray that where there is brokenness, there'd be healing. Father, I pray where there is pain in relationship, Father, that You would bring peace. Father, I pray where there's deceit, Father, I pray that You would destroy the deceit and that You would bring truth. Father, I pray that this would be a unified body. That because You love us and want to be with us so much, that we would want the same thing for each other. Father, make us a body of love. Remind us of who we are. Draw us closer to You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.